Isaiah 49:8 says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." I'll read it to you again. Isaiah 49:8 says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages." Again, I'm using for a subject today the urgency of deliverance. The urgency of deliverance. You know, last week we talked about the message, "It's time to get out of here." It's time to get out of here. And we discussed then the fact that the Lord wants to deliver us now. Shouldn't have to wait for deliverance from sin and stronghold. We shouldn't have to wait for a proper time to be delivered from sin and stronghold and things like that. No, because there is destruction from Sodom behind you, you need to get out of there. Right? The Egyptians are following you. You need to get out of there. Your promise is ahead of you in the land of milk and honey. You need to cross the threshold. Don't wait. I want to follow that theme when it comes to the urgency of deliverance. Last week, we were talking about the importance of getting out of a place of sin. But again, deliverance suggests the deliverance out of something and into something else. Last week, we talked about what you needed to be delivered out of. You needed to be delivered out of an environment, an atmosphere of sin and stronghold. You needed to get out of a place where you didn't belong in the first place. Lot should never have been in Sodom. The Israelites should never have been in a condition of slavery in Egypt. They needed to be in the promised land, the land of milk and honey. That's where they belonged. So we talked about the urgency of getting out of something, but there's the urgency of what you need to get into, recognizing what we need to get out of. But also, let's talk about what we're being delivered into. What we're being delivered into. Well, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying the restoration of Zion here. And in prophesying this restoration, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time." Acceptable in the Hebrew is ratzon. Ratzon, which means pleasure, delight, favor, goodwill. In a favorable time, at the right time, just the right time, the perfect and ideal time, have I heard thee. Heard in the Hebrew is anah. It means, what's interesting about the word heard is it's not just the act of hearing with the ear. The actual Hebrew definition is to answer, to respond, to testify, to be answered or receive an answer. And so hearing here is not just the act of hearing, but responding to what has been heard. It's as if you were to ask me, "Can you do this for me?" Me hearing you says, not only have I heard your request, but I am answering your request. And so at just the right time, at the acceptable time, have I heard thee. And in a day of salvation, have I helped thee. Salvation in the Hebrew, of course, is Yeshua. Yeshua, it's the Hebrew equivalent to the word Jesus in the Greek, and it means salvation, it means deliverance, it means welfare, it means prosperity, it means victory. There is a day of salvation. The prophet Isaiah, by the word of God, says, in this day of salvation, he seems to be speaking in a future tense, saying, there is going to be an acceptable time that I will hear you. There is going to be a day of salvation, and I will preserve you. Preserve in the Hebrew is natsar, means to guard, to watch, to guard from dangers, to guard with fidelity, to be kept close, to be blockaded. He not only is he going to help us. He's going to preserve us. Help. I skipped over that, but the Hebrew word for help is azar. It means support. Now, the primary idea lies in girding, surrounding, defending. It means an ally in war. It means to be helped by war. It means to be helped by God and to conquer. And so in this day, in this acceptable time, and in this day of salvation, the Lord hears us, he helps us, he preserves us. This is what we need to be delivered into. And we need to be delivered out of an environment of affliction. We need to be delivered out of an environment of sin. We need to be delivered out of an environment of stronghold. Let's face it, every one of you who've ever been in a condition of sin has been insecure. You had to look over your shoulder. You had to look to the left or look to the right. You had to give second looks to your friend because you didn't trust whether they were going to do right by you. You had to look, take a second look at your who you thought to be your boy, because even though they say they're your boy, you know what kind of person they are, and they could very well be the same way with you. You had to take a look at your girlfriend because it was your girlfriend that cheated on you with their girlfriend, so you can't trust her really. And so, just face it, sin is insecure. Salvation is secure. We need to be delivered out of that realm of insecurity into a realm of security. Isaiah said, "A time is coming when I'll help you. A time is coming when I'll deliver you. A time is coming where I'll secure you. I'll solidify you. A time is coming where I'll be able to keep you and guard you and hold you close to me. That time is coming." He says, "I will give thee for a covenant of the people." Covenant is berith, which means alliance, divine ordinance with signs or pledges. A covenant is an agreement. It's a contract. It is a connection. And so what he's saying is, not only am I going to do all of these things for you, not only am I going to help you and preserve you, but the people, the world will see that this is because of your alliance with me. You see, what can make or break the way people view you is the alliance that they have with you. All of this is happening because of your connection with the Lord? They'll have to recognize that. That's why we're a witness. We're a witness to the world, because people affiliate your change in lifestyle with who you're affiliated with. There are so many people that will say, "I became saved not because some evangelist wore me out with the Bible, but because they saw a change in somebody's life and realized that that change is connected to their relationship with the Father." And so because of that, a time will come, the ideal time, the perfect time, the favorable time will come where the Lord will hear you and answer you. The time is coming where he has promised to help you. The time is coming where he's promised to preserve you. The time is coming where he's promised to show you to the world as an ally with heaven. My God, that time is coming. The time is coming where he's going to establish you. Establish in the Hebrew is kum. Kum, it means to raise, to set up, to erect, to build. It means to restore and establish the land from its present state of ruin. If you've ever looked around you, whether it was before you were saved or even now, if you've ever looked around you and said, "My life is in shambles. My life is crumbling down. If one more thing goes wrong, I don't know what I'm going to do. If something else happens, I don't know what's going to happen." But salvation rebuilds your broken places. Salvation restores your broken pieces. Salvation puts you back together again. Salvation clears out all the weeds and builds a new foundation for you. Salvation establishes you. The time is coming. You see, deliverance again implies deliverance out of something and into something else. If you've ever looked back on your insecure, sinful lifestyle, and look at what's promised to you in salvation, how many would say, "I'll take it"? I'll take the help. I'll take the preservation. I'll take the security. I'll take the restoration. I'll take it. Because it's head and shoulders above the insecurity I just had. It's head and shoulders above the fear I was walking in. It's head and shoulders above the pain that I had to deal with. It's head and shoulders all the fakeness that I had to deal with, all the fronting I was doing. It's head and shoulders above all that because it's all real. You see, when being delivered out of sin, we are delivered into support. We're delivered into protection. We're delivered into connection. We're delivered into restoration. We are delivered into inheritance. The challenge that I have, and the challenge that many of you have, is that when you think about how good all of this sounds, why do many people wait? When you think about all the good that this sounds like, all of the great things that you could possibly experience in salvation, why on earth would somebody say, no, not right now. I gotta take care of some other things first. I gotta get my life right first. I gotta figure this out first. And no, I'm not ready to give this up yet. And I'm not ready to do that. No. Why on earth, when considering that destruction is on your tail and promise is within arm's reach, why on earth would somebody say, I got a little more time before I have to deal with that? But yet, when it comes to the immediate gratification, we rush to it. If somebody were to call you today and say, I just found out that you won $1 million, but you need to claim it right now. We need you to get here to the office right now to sign these papers, because if you don't get here now, then you lose the money. How many would drop your Bibles on the pew, say, Pastor, I'll catch you next Sunday. I need to make the drive down to this office because I got $1 million waiting for me. Don't lie. I know you would. How many would just drop everything and say, I heard that scripture before, I'll catch it on the website? If somebody called you today and said, I've got $1 million waiting for you, but you need to sign it now, how much fire and smoke would I see coming out of your heels out of the church? Don't lie, because I know you would. Because the thing is, we have a sense of urgency for the things that we feel like we need. How much more important is the eternal condition of your soul than $1 million waiting for you? You see, the prophet had spoken in future tense. But now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Somebody say amen when you're there. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, we then as workers together with him beseech you, beg you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Receive not the grace of God in vain. Think about it again. Somebody just called you and said, you've won $1 million. I need you to come here now and sign the papers to get it. You will not waste $1 million. You are not going to waste your chance to get $1 million. I don't care if you're already independently wealthy. Somebody's offering you a free meal. You're not going to waste that chance. Well, guess what? You've got a chance at eternal salvation. You've got a chance at eternal life. You've got a chance to have your whole world rocked by the Holy Spirit. Everything changing, everything transforming. Don't you let it go to waste. Don't give up on this chance to sit in heavenly places. Don't give up on this chance to sit at the right hand of the Father. He's waiting for you. You ought to be rushing to his throne. Don't let the grace of God be in vain. Don't let the grace of God be in vain. You see, verse 2 is critical to the message because Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 49 and 8, speaks in the future tense. He's speaking of what the Messiah is going to bring to the world. Now, the second verse is referencing our text. Paul is referencing our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says in verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee." He's basically saying the same thing. "In an acceptable time I will hear you, and in the day of salvation I will secure you." That's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 49 and 8. He's referencing Isaiah here. Now, he says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, Isaiah was speaking in the future tense, but Paul is speaking in the present tense, and he's speaking to an audience that knows what he's talking about. They know what Isaiah said. They know what the Bible says. He says, "Listen, the Bible says that there is an accepted time of salvation." Well, guess what? Now is the accepted time. Now is the accepted day. Today is the day of salvation. So don't let this day go to waste. Don't let this time slip by you. You just got the call that free salvation is waiting for you. You need to rush toward the throne. You need to rush to the altar. You need to rush to the baptismal pool. You need to rush to the pastor. Anybody that's got a chance to pray over your soul, now is the time to get it done. You see, We love to rush to things that are going to feel good for us in the short term, but we don't rush to things that are waiting for us for our long-term salvation. Isaiah 55 and 6, Isaiah says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." That suggests that there will be a time where he may not be found. It suggests that there will be a time where he won't be near. As a matter of fact, Genesis 6 and 3, God himself says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." There's no time to wait for grace. There's no time to wait for deliverance. There's an urgency. Hebrews chapter 3, 7 and 8, it says, "If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart as you did in the provocation." He said it again in chapter 4, verse 7. "If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart." Then in James chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If you've been sitting here today and you saw two people get baptized and you heard the ringing in your soul that I need to respond to that, then you need to respond to that call of action. You're sitting here today under the sound of my voice saying, "I need to respond to the call of salvation." The call for deliverance is urgent. You might not have tomorrow. You might not have next week. You might not have next year to respond. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. Now is the acceptable time. Christ has died on the cross and risen again. It's always available to you. Do it now. Even if you've walked away from the Lord, Even if you once became saved some time ago and you were baptized a long time ago and you walked away or you let your relationship with God slip away and you've walked away from relationship with God, now is the time for repentance. Now is the time for a return to the Father. Now is the time for you to allow the Father to see you coming down a long road so that he can run to you and rest your head on your chest and say, my son has come home again. Whether you're new to the church or a prodigal son, today is the day of your salvation and deliverance. Don't wait. Don't wait. Now is the time. The moment that he may be found is now. Don't wait. Don't let the grace of God slip through your fingers. Don't let him no longer be near. Now is the time. I'll leave you with this. Famous martial arts superstar, Bruce Lee, one of his technical directors in his movies that he's worked with invited him to go to church. I think it was a lighting director or something like that. He invited Bruce Lee to go to church with him. Bruce Lee says, I'll go to church when I get old. Bruce Lee died at the age of 38. Don't wait. Don't put off your chance to receive grace. Don't put off thinking that you've got time to get it right. Don't put off thinking that you've got yet another Sunday before you respond. I'll answer the altar call next time. I'll answer the call to baptism next time. I'll wait. No. Now is the time to come to Jesus. Now is the time to come back to Jesus. You don't have tomorrow. Answer today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that there are souls in the house today that have heard your word. We pray, Lord God, that they would speedily respond, Father God. And if those who are under the sound of my voice that do know you, Father God, let them pass this sense of urgency along as a fire alarm, crying out to friends and family and associates that today is the day of salvation. Father, let us hear you. Let us respond to you. Let us no longer wait to respond to your call in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we give you the glory, honor, and praise that is due your name. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. We say amen. Amen and amen.